Dad, is it going to be too much to ask to come up one more time? Ha! Fourth week. And this is the last time. But can we all say this together? For those of you who haven't been here, you're going to learn really quickly. But let's say this together. You're done when I tell you you're done. I will keep it quick. For those of you who have heard this now four times, I'm hammering it home, Mom. This is kind of our motto. This is kind of FCC's mantra. I was 13 or 14 years old. I was on the mound. Bases were loaded. There was a full count. And I called Dad out to the mound. And he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "My arm hurts."
Correct.
And then I said, "Coach, Dad, I'm done."
"No, you're not."
I said, "Dad, my arm really hurts. I'm done." And I tried to give the ball to Dad, and then he said that...
"You're done when I tell you you're done."
"You're done when I tell you you're done. And Dad, I watched you. You didn't take the ball. You put it back in my glove."
"Correct."
"And you walked back, and I just watched your backside walk the whole way."
"Not a pretty..."
"But I've really never told the end of the story. Will you tell him what happened on my pitch?"
"I told him to just throw a strike, throw it hard, throw it normal."
"And I threw it?"
"He threw it, but it wasn't normal pitch. It was like a lob pitch, but it was a strike."
"And we..."
"We won."
"Because you said you're done when..."
"I tell you you're done."
Give my dad a round of applause. Because "you're done when I tell you you're done" has turned into this for me with my God. You're done when, what's the word?
God.
You're done when God tells you you're done. There are people from the second row here to back in the back with Kitty and Mel that you think you're done about something. I'm telling you. I've hammered it home because we don't go out and live this. We're either done with our job, we're done with our relationship, we're done with our medications, we're done in trying to get better because things aren't working out. But what I want to really encourage you with is you are done when who tells you you're done? Has God told you you're done? I see everybody here breathing this morning. You're not done. Amen? And I've talked about three stories about people in the Bible who it looked like they were done, but they weren't done. But I haven't talked about my favorite yet. What's his name up there?
Paul.
Now, his original name was Saul. I'm not going to get into all of that. I'm calling him Paul today. But Paul thought he had it all together. Paul was very smart. Paul was taught by a man named Gamaliel, who was the top instructor of their day. Jim, it would be like if you hurt your leg and you needed to have leg surgery and Marilyn got you the world's most renowned leg surgeon. Amen? That's what you would do for him. He was taught under the best professor of the Old Testament laws. And Paul was smart. So much so that in the Bible, he said, "There are none other that compare to how well that I have followed the laws." But then something happened. There was this man named Jesus. And he started to have all these followers. And Jesus did things a way that Paul had not been taught. So Paul actually started persecuting these people. Amen? Hello? So much so that Stephen, one of the great Christians of all time in the Bible, was martyred. And it is biblical that it says Paul stood on the side and held the coats and the tunics and the robes of those who stoned Stephen. Other commentators think Paul's hands dripped with blood of innocent Christians. But he was doing what he thought God wanted him to do. Amen? So Paul hears that in Damascus, Jesus has brought up all of these Christians, and they are coming up, and they're forming an alliance. So he goes to his leaders and he says, "Will you sign on this piece of paper for me that I can go and I can arrest any Christian who professes that they are following Jesus, and I will arrest them, and we will torture them, and we will hurt them, and many people think we will kill them." And they signed off on that piece of paper. So Paul had that in hand as he makes his way to Damascus. And I want you to look at the scripture. This is Paul. This is where we pick up the story. It says, "And I is Paul." It says, "As Paul was," what are those three words? Nearing Damascus, the place where he was headed towards. What is the next word? About noon, a very bright light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" Back to verse 6. As I was, what is that? On the road. Paul was on the road doing what he thought he needed to do, doing what he thought God wanted him to do. How many of us have been doing that in our lives? Amen? Can I be honest with you today? Can I tell you where I've been? Listen to me. Mom, December of 2018. December of 2018. I was working at Transmit America in Omaha. I was on my road. It was a comfortable life, right, Cam? I mean, we had weekends off, and I went to work during the day, and we knew what time I left, and we knew what time I came back, and we knew kind of our schedule, but still something was telling me, Brad and Joy, something was telling me, I need to apply for a church job. So we applied in Auburn, Kansas. So Cam and I and the girls drive to Auburn, Kansas in December. And of all the church jobs that we didn't get, of all the church jobs that I was second, or 80th, or 100th, or third, Auburn wanted us. They even bought us Gambino's pizza. But remember, honey, we were on that road, and we drove around Auburn, and we're like, this isn't Ashland. That's not the school the girls would have here. I don't know where we'd live. There was nothing around. How would God grow the church? How would we do it? We can't take this. But do you know that on the road and all the way home, we were trying to talk ourselves into it? We even had people from Auburn sending us stuff like, look at this house. And I swear to God, it was like an unplumbed, there was no plumbing in it. It was a shack. There was an outhouse. And I was telling Mom, "Mom, we might move to Auburn." And you were like, "Okay," but I know you're like, "No." But I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. And I ask you from the last pew to right up here, Millers, how many times are we on this road and you think you're doing what God wants you to do? You talk yourself into, we can do, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what God has me doing. This is what's going on. And that's the road that we were on. Well, Paul was on the road and he was nearing Damascus when, what is that word again? Suddenly, about noon, a very bright light from heaven shone all around me. In Bob's translation, that says, suddenly, about noontime, God got my attention. Paul was doing what he thought he had to do, and then God stopped him as he was nearing where he was going to. And I'm telling you, I don't care how comfortable you feel. I don't. I don't feel how great you feel about what is going on in your life. There's a suddenly that's coming, Don. Jane, there's a suddenly that's coming. Grandma, suddenly is going to happen. And it's going to happen at noon because that's when we all like to eat. Well, I'll tell you about my suddenly. Jim Anderson called. Jim, where you at? Is he in here? Jim called me. I'm trying to make up excuses on my road somewhere about what I'm going to do and say, honey, wasn't I? I really wanted to go to Auburn, didn't I? For my selfish motives. And Jim called me. And he said, Pastor Mike has stepped down. Will you speak a couple of times in January? And I talked to Cam and we prayed about it. And I said, Jim, I can preach January 7th and January 14th for everything you've done for me, for everything this church has done. And we did. And then on January 14th, Jim said, you know what, why don't you just preach the rest of the month? So we did. And then Robin and Kim and the trustees and Jim said, why don't we look at maybe having you do Sundays for, you know, we'll just see how it's going in 6 months. So we did. And that's not the road that I thought I was going to be on, but suddenly there was a bright light around me, and look what happens when the bright light comes. Jesus says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? But look at this. Paul says, read that with me, you guys. Who is it speaking to me? Paul knew who it was. Paul knew. No, there was nobody else. Paul knew this was from my God. But this is like us. Who is speaking to me, sir? And he said, I am Jesus. Look at what it says in the red. I am hearing. What's the last three words?
So many voices.
Oh, wasn't I hearing so many voices, honey? Because I wanted to go to Auburn. And Auburn wanted us to go to Auburn. And I think the girls wanted me to go to Auburn. But you didn't want me to go to Auburn. Because she is smart. But how many times do we know that when we go on the road that we're on, that you don't always know what to do because you're hearing so many voices? Who is that that's speaking to me? God, is that you? Or is it my wife? Or is it my doctor? Or is it my brother? Or is it my kids? Or is it my co-workers? Or is it the devil? Who is speaking to me? Who is stopping me from doing what I want to do? Who is it? And look what happens. Paul had men with him who saw the light, but they did not understand what was said. In the red, I put, people will see God in you, but they won't understand. From our high schoolers up here to the oldest person in the congregation, when you hear God, you're going to have other people around you that don't understand. There are people that think I am a raging lunatic. Right, TJ? But I'm a raging lunatic for Jesus. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. God got Paul's attention. I want you to read with me what Paul said. Paul said, what shall who? And I want us to read together what's in red. We get this all what? Because here's what we do. God gets our attention some way. And then it's like we say, God, what are you going to do for me? How are you going to turn this around? How are you going to open this door? How are you going to let me go to Auburn? Or if you're not going to send me to Auburn, God, what other door are you going to open? We don't ask that question. We ask what God can do for us. And most pastors that you go and we pray, we're like, gimme, 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 when we should be saying, God, what can we do for you? What can we do for you? What can we do for you? Paul actually asks the right question. What shall I do, Lord? What shall I do, God? What shall I do? And look what God says. Get what? Get up. And go into Damascus. That's where he thought he was going the whole time. But when you're there, you're going to be told what awaits you in the what?
Years.
FCC. There are people here this morning. What is the opposite of up? It's crazy to me that when God got Paul's attention, he didn't look up. He fell down. Because when God gets your attention, it's not what you think it's going to be. You may be going where you thought you were going, but he wasn't going to be killing anyone. He wasn't going to be arresting anyone. He wasn't going to be doing what the piece of paper said. In essence, God said, get up, go where you thought you were going, and I'm going to show you what's up. Because when you're there, I've already lined up people to tell you what awaits you in the what is the word? Oh. It's hard to read. Because in the red I put, this is going to be, what is that last word? Journey. I want to tell you about my road. So when we came back from Auburn and we finally made the decision, we're not taking that job, right? We're not taking the job. I'm a pastor who stands in front of you and I can preach the right things to say, but I don't always live the way I should live. I don't always say the things I should say. And I would tell you as a parent to do everything you can to think of your kids first and to think of your family first. And all I wanted to do was preach. All I wanted to do was go to Auburn, even though all they had was Gambinos. I tried to make every excuse to go down the road that I wanted to go down, to go to the place that I wanted to go to do the things that I wanted to do, and then God got my attention. And I pray that happens to you. And when I say I pray that happens to you, I had teary nights. I had teary nights in the basement that my wife doesn't even know about because I wanted it so bad. I didn't want to write permits anymore. I wanted to preach about the Word of God. I wanted to encourage someone who was down. I wanted to do what I know God had me do. And who in here doesn't know that when you realize you're human, when you have chronic leukemia like I do, and you realize that your days are numbered, that you don't want to have your wife say to you, which was good advice, let's just wait until the girls graduate and then see where God takes us. But what if I don't have till their graduation? I want to go down my road. And I want it to be easy. And I want it to be fast. I don't want God to show His light in my life and then say, go to where I told you to go, Bobby, and then await what I have to tell you. And it's going to take days, right? No, years. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to pray to a God for help in your relationship and God tells you it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fast. It's going to be hard work. But look at this. This is what the truth is. Our journeys are what? And hard. These journeys can be long and they can be hard. And I received a phone call. I don't know if it was from Robin or Jim. And they met with me and I was talking to them about how my other job was going and some other things about the future of what maybe Cam and I were doing. And then in the world's biggest attention grabber of all time and light, they said, what if you would just be FCC's full-time pastor? And I talked to Mom, didn't I? I talked to my dad, talked to my wife, and I talked to my girls, and my Selah, my little prophet Selah, looked at me and she said, Daddy, you're supposed to be preaching. And when you go down the long road and you don't know where you're going, and it's been long and it's been hard and you've been sick, when it's a road you've been on and you've already stepped away once and you don't think there could ever be a way back, when it's a road that the patience that you've had to have and a church has had to have and in everything you deal with, it seems like it's so hard. Look at this though. It is what? It is worth it. Honey, will you come up here? I don't know who I'm encouraging this morning, but you have something in your life where you're down. And you're on your road to Damascus to do whatever you want to do. I understand. And you need to look out for you, and you need to look out for your family, and you need to look out for your kids, and you're going to do whatever you think God is telling you to do. But can I tell you, in most cases, we're not doing what God wants us to do. We're doing what makes us feel good. And for us, that's over. Because this is my true partner in crime. And it is with a humble acceptance, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, the most utmost respect for a church family that has been unbelievable to us, that we 100% accept the full-time offer that was given to us. And it is crazy because there's already some, this is how it goes, guys. There's already some that say, we can't do this. There's not enough money in the funds. He already quit on us once. What happens if he stays, but then the girls graduate? Like, where's he going to go? Fool me once, I understand, but fool me twice now. That's on us. You know what my grandpa used to say to all that? Hogwash. All of those things are valid. All of them. But also, what else is valid is when we say those things, we are limiting God. The first Sunday I was in here, January 7th, I looked up the records. There was 19 people, and I think 8 of them were our family. I'm done limiting God. Amen? And you should be too. I don't know what road you're on. I don't know where you're going. I don't know, even if you have the best life going right now, there's going to be a suddenly. And the suddenly is to show you that no matter how good you have it, listen to me, God has a better plan. I would not be wanting to stand in front of any other church. What God showed me is I had actually missed this. And you people, more than I could ever imagine. And when you have people who love on you and care on you and trust in you, even with your mistakes, it just shows me how good God is. I ask you to close your eyes across this place, and I want you to picture you on your walk to your Damascus. And I know in your heart you feel like you're doing what God wants you to do. Maybe you've done it for 20 years. Maybe you've done it for 25 years. Maybe you've done it for 30 years. I'm asking right now that God puts inside of you the strength to understand that there's going to be a suddenly at noon. And God's going to get your attention. And you are going to fall to your knees and you're going to be, God, is that you talking or is it the devil? Or because I don't know. And other people around you aren't going to be understanding what the conflict in your heart is, because you look like such a success. You look like you've got it all together. But you look up to God and you say, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want you to get up. Because I have a plan for you. Lord, today I ask that you show each and every person in here what that plan is. I ask you to do it sooner rather than later, but if it's later, it's because that time is even more appropriate to glorify your name. Lord, each and every person in here, my wife and I love from the bottom of our heart, and they've been so instrumental in bringing us back to a place where we can be used to glorify you. How awesome are you? How worthy are you? Oh, how worthy is the Lamb? Jesus, this morning, we humbly come before you and thank you for everything that you've done in each and every one of our lives. Show us on our way to Damascus what we're really going there for. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all the people that I proclaim this over, can you say amen?
Amen.